From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad to welcome in Deacon Kevin Staskow. Deacon joins us by phone. Deacon, good day to you.
Good day. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. Spring has sprung here in the Sacramento Valley, so in the Diocese of Sacramento. Deacon, we miss seeing you in person, but through the miracles of electronics, we can talk to you. So appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Holy Week coming up. So much happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Absolutely. There's a lot happening. I wanted to let people know that there's still time to sign up for the workshop with Bob McCarty in a couple days. I don't know if you've had Bob on the show.
Yes.
But he is an excellent, excellent speaker, and he's going to be in person here in Sacramento. And I wouldn't want people to miss the opportunity to hear him speak. He's going to be talking about really how to reach out, to this current generation of families and youth with the faith. Passing on the faith is getting more and more difficult in our culture, and I think he'll have some good research and then also some good practical suggestions to share. So anybody who's trying to raise Catholic kids, anybody who's trying to run a program in a parish to really reach out to the families and youth of today and not, you know, whatever, the families and youth when they were, you know, 20 years ago. I think that's the issue is sometimes we use the same techniques and the same assumptions when we run our faith formation programs, our youth ministry programs, you know, our family programs, and anything we try to do to reach out to families and young people, we're using really old methods. So, you know, that's on Thursday, the 30th. There's a 10 a.m. workshop here at the Pastoral Center and a 6 p.m. workshop here at the Pastoral Center.
The same workshop, but two separate ones.
Yeah, there's same workshop twice, one at 10, one at 6 p.m. So if you're working, you come after work. I do think it's really well worth the time. The last time he came, he was very, very well received. We did a workshop with him on disaffiliation, and it involved the principals, the DREs, and the pastors of all the parishes. They were really, they were really struck by what he had to say. And I think this is a great follow-up to that that workshop a couple of years ago.
I remember talking to Bob at that time and also very recently about the current workshops. He is, I don't think excellent is a good enough word. He's something very special.
Yeah, no, I do think, I wouldn't say that. I really am. I'm endorsing the workshop because I do think it would be worthwhile for people to come and see that and participate in it. I do think, you know, as you know, we've all come out of the pandemic. Some parishes are trying new things. Other parishes just went back to how things were in the past. You know, we as parents are struggling to raise our kids, and I think more understanding of the research on the kids of today, I think is really important.
Yeah, you know, and you're right when you say maybe what we did 20 years ago doesn't work as well today. You look at how much changes just in technology in the last 20 years, but just how much changes in the world and the different issues facing kids today that we didn't even dream of 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I recently was struggling with my two daughters. They're twins. They're 16 years old. They're taking AP World History in school, right? We got into kind of a philosophical discussion about what's the point, right? You can look up any history you want on your phone in like 5 seconds.
That's right.
So why do I need to memorize, you know, all of these trends in history? Why do I need to know this stuff when, you know, basically I've got more information than the Library of Congress at my fingertips, and I've got Bard to help me find it, or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
So it's that idea that we're in kind of a different ball game, right? Especially with a YouTube video on how to do literally anything you want to do, right? My kids don't ever try to figure it out. They just search YouTube for how do I,
yeah,
whatever. Right? The other day I was, like 4 years ago, I remember my daughter was trying to figure out what to do for her birthday party. And she didn't, when I was 12, we just had to come up with our own ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
She went on Pinterest. She literally Googled fun ideas for a 12-year-old's birthday party. And like 150 ideas came up, right? I mean, she didn't have to think, right? The world did it for her, right?
Well,
a different reality, right?
Have been using a computer all the time to, what's 4 times 4, and you punch it in wrong, and it says 160, and you just go with it, because you just have no sense of what 4 times 4 is.
Well, it's like nobody knows how to get anywhere anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to get anywhere.
Yeah,
I just use Google, right? If you ask me, how do I get from the Pastoral Center to the Cathedral? I don't know. I think I could probably give you that direction, but I mean, most directions I just don't know, right? Because I depend so much on my own telling me where to go. It's a lot easier. I don't have to think about that, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to think about it. It saves me time, right? I can just do it, right?
Yeah, and it's
just... You can see why somebody taking over, a bad actor taking over Google Maps could really, really destroy my life, right?
Oh, man. That's perish the thought. Yeah.
Make me stop by their store, right? Get out of the car. Why am I here? Oh, geez. Maybe I'll buy something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do think, it's important that we stay, some of our methods are never going to change, right? Some of the things we do in the church and the way that we spread the faith, some of that is timeless, right? But there's a lot of things that aren't, and we just need to be aware of, what's the most effective way to pass on the faith in this culture. And I think that Bob's workshop will help people, and what it'll give you is not all the answers, but what to think about, right? And how to try to adapt what we're doing to be more effective.
Yeah, and it's Kevin, you and I have done a few presentations on this about raising kids, and it really does. You talk about world history. I remember the Encyclopedia Britannica when our family, as a traveling salesman, knock on your door and they'd sell you this 24 volume. And when you're in high school, you would just go to volume B if you were trying to learn about Boston, and you'd look it up and you'd look up in the index. And now, like you say, everything is at your fingertips. We don't ever want to put our religion into that box. And yet, one of my daughters, who has some learning disabilities, she wanted to know how to pray the rosary. She was in a group, and she just couldn't remember, all the prayers and all the order. I mean, it was that difficult for her. And we went online, it was so much easier for her to follow the beads than me telling her this is how you do it, like I would have done 20, 30 years ago. So, I mean, there's the good and the bad. It's like you're in a strange town, and what time's Mass on Sunday? And you can find and Google will get you there too. So,
yeah. No, I just think it's important that we update our learning and our techniques, and I think I think that workshop might help with it. I really do. We in the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and the Office of Family and Faith Formation, we're getting kind of geared up for summer activities as well. Of course, we have Camp Pendola,
right,
which is still around, and we're trying to spread the word about the camp. We also have some leadership programs. We have a training program called Youth on a Mission, which is going to be at Camp Pendola this summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's for teens who are interested in leadership in parishes. So it could be a youth, somebody who's interested in helping out with youth ministry, but it could also be people who are involved in other ministries in your parish that are interested in leadership. It's a general like Christian leadership program called Youth on a Mission.
Yeah, and that's you sort of move that around from summer to summer, and I think it's great to have it up in the hills this year at Camp Pendola.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a good opportunity, and then it's an opportunity also that they can participate in all the Camp Pendola activities. You know, mm-hmm. archery and hiking and
right.
be out in the woods, and so it's kind of a different environment. We've had that at the Cal Maritime facility in Vallejo before. We've had that at Trinity Pines. We've had that at different places, but it's at Camp Pendola this summer. So we're excited about that. And of course, we're actually trying to get all the speakers and everything together for Ministry Days. It's coming up in September, and we'll be doing On Fire again at Six Flags. So. A lot of those things, we're doing pre-planning for a lot of those things right now. And, coming out of Lent and into the Easter season, the parishes are really busy during April. So it's not a super busy time for us, right? Because they're, most of the sacraments are happening. So they're doing first communions and confirmations and everything. So we don't do as many workshops, et cetera, in the April, May time period. We're kind of getting ready for the summer.
Yeah, I know that Ministry Days is always the last Friday and Saturday in September. On Fire is slightly maybe the Saturday or two before. Do you have an actual date on that?
Yeah, so On Fire is the 16th.
The 16th, okay.
The 16th. And then Ministry Days is actually the 23rd and 24th, so the weekend right after that, the Friday and Saturday, 22nd right. and 23rd of September.
The last full weekend of September.
Yeah, and so the 23rd is the day. The 22nd is going to be two activities happening on the 22nd. That's for all of the school, the Catholic school faculty and staff will be there for a special day of formation. Also on the 22nd, we're doing a retreat day for parish staffs. So it's an opportunity for parish staff and ministry leaders to come together if they're available on the Friday. So I imagine it would mostly be the paid staff to come together on Friday to have a retreat day together. And the day will challenge, we'll talk about how we find our support as ministers and how can we be a support as a parish staff to each other. It'll talk about challenge people to like try new and innovative things mm-hmm. in the parish, and we'll also be talking about how we can be more hospitable. We talk about the Eucharist, inviting the Eucharistic revival. A core of that is welcoming people back to the Eucharist, welcoming people in our parish, and part of that to get people to come back to Mass and engage in the sacrament of the Eucharist is to really be a welcoming presence of Christ to others. So the retreat will focus on those three main themes for parish staffs. We've got some great speakers coming in for Ministry Days this year. So that'll be on Friday. And then Saturday is our general day where anybody who's involved in any parish ministry at all in any fashion is welcome to come. We have workshops in all the different ministry areas, Respect Life, Youth Ministry, Faith Formation, marriage preparation, preparation for the other sacraments. We'll have some workshops on from the Black Catholic Ministry, from Deaf Ministry, and from the Ministry for Catholics with Disabilities. We have all kinds of different ministry workshops and Mass with the Bishop and an excellent keynote address. It should be a really good day.
Yeah, of course, it'll be at St. Francis. Have you filled up all of the workshops, or are you still looking for people that maybe would like to present something?
No, we're pretty much done looking for workshops because mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're trying to get the booklet out this year early.
Good.
Before the parish faith formation youth ministry programs kind of shut down or go on hiatus for mm-hmm. the summer. So we're trying to get that booklet out in May. So we pretty much got the speakers
Very
lined
good.
Up, and we'll be starting to announce those in the next few weeks. looking forward to that. And the On Fire event at Six Flags is also going to happen, and we'll be making some major announcements about that in the next few weeks.
Kevin, if you would explain. I know I run into people all the time that say, our kids didn't make it to Six Flags yet, but it sure sounds like a good event. Maybe they heard about it on the radio, or they heard about it in their parish. Maybe explain just for a thumbnail of what's involved at Six Flags. I know you change it up every year, but what's involved at Six Flags?
Yeah, so Six Flags is an event that we co-sponsor with nine dioceses,
mm-hmm.
The Diocese of Reno, and then eight other dioceses in the state of California. So, the Diocese of Santa Rosa, Sacramento, of course, Stockton, San Jose, Monterey, Fresno, San Francisco, and Oakland.
So everything north of the Tehachapi.
Yeah, so Fresno, Fresno north.
Yeah.
Right. So
yep.
Fresno is pretty far away.
So part of Bakersfield, which is in the Diocese of Fresno.
Yeah. So part of Fresno is fairly close to us, but Fresno's a pretty large diocese. So half of it is closer to Southern California, and half of it would be probably Northern California. But anyway, so we partner with all those dioceses, and we do an event at Six Flags here in Vallejo. Vallejo is part of the Sacramento Diocese, of course. So all those dioceses send youth to that event. And so it's a mass in the morning with the bishops. It's a full day in the park, just going to Six Flags, having a fun day at Six Flags. There's an all-you-can-eat lunch, and then there's also an evening program with Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and a speaker. We also have, after that evening program, the park closes, but it stays open for two extra hours for just the people from our On Fire event. So we get to go on all the rides, don't have to wait, the lines aren't as long because it's just our group that's there. Last year we had about 2,000, and we've had as many as 3,700. That was the biggest event. I think it was 2011 or 2012, that was 3,700. But we had 2,000 last year coming out of the pandemic, so we were excited about that. We only, one year we had to do it virtually, but this is the, so we did a virtual one of the years. We did a series of virtual events instead of the live event because we were right in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
But we have done, this is the 14th year of On Fire. So.
Wow.
Exciting. It's been 14 years already. It's amazing.
So explain, you're the point guy. You're the guy that came up with this idea. How did Six Flags respond when did they come to you? Did you go to them? How did that start?
I think there'd been a conversation between a previous youth and young adult ministry director for the Diocese of Sacramento, Victor.
Uh-huh.
His name is Victor. He had actually talked to them about possibly having some kind of youth day, right? And Life Team does a similar event at Six Flags in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
I had started in youth ministry in 1994, I think I was part-time in youth ministry from 91 to 93, and then in 1994, I started full-time in youth ministry. I was at a parish in the Diocese of Oakland, and at that time, I was shocked that there was no large event, right? All the large events happened in the Midwest or happened in Southern California. We didn't have any large youth events in Northern California. And so the entire time I was in youth ministry, there had been this conversation kind of in the back, especially like after World Youth Day happened in Denver in 1994, and then these large events, Steubenville started doing its conferences. There was all these things happening, but there was nothing in Northern California. And so when I became a diocesan director, that was in the back of my mind, like, hey, we should have this. There's no reason why we can't have something in Northern California. So I approached the directors. I approached the bishop first and said, I'd like to do this big event at Six Flags. And when I contacted Six Flags, they said, oh, you know, we had talked to Victor previously. We'd love to have you do an event here. That would be great. You know, let's talk about it. So when I talked to the bishop, he gave me two things. He said, one, let's try to make this more of a regional event and not just our diocese, because we have to attract a lot of kids and to make it worthwhile. So this would be a good idea. And the second thing is he said, I'd really like this event to be used to promote vocation. So those were the two main things that he said. So I just called all, you know, I was new. I just called all the diocesan directors from all those different dioceses. And it turned out at that time, there were several of us, probably five of the diocesan directors were brand new in our first year. It just happened to be that the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they all were excited about, oh, well, we can do this, you know, this will be a great thing to work on because we can kind of do it together. And so I got all nine dioceses to sign on to the event that first year, and I lucked out. I got Matt Maher had just, you know, was just breaking into the,
yeah.
Matt Maher was just, he had just come out with a single that was a crossover single to like, you know, from, it was really popular on Christian radio, and it actually became, you know, was a mainstream Christian hit. And so that song kind of came out right after I had asked them if they'd be willing to come to the event. And they were touring with 10th Avenue North, who was really popular. So I got the tour. I got 10th Avenue North, Addison Road, and Matt Maher the first year. So
wow.
It was a combination of kind of built-up demand for an event like this for many years. All nine dioceses co-sponsoring it. And the fact that we were able to get this tour to come through.
Boy.
And add a date, you know, at an event that had never happened before. So it was really the Holy Spirit that made all those things come together the same year. And we were worried about selling 1,000 tickets, and we sold out, you know, the week before. You know, like we were by the time of the day of the event, we were oversold. We were completely sold out, and just amazed, right?
What's a sellout? 2,500, something like that?
Well, is that they told me that you know that the stadium held 3,000, mm-hmm. and later they readjusted that to 3,200 because we sold over 3,000 tickets our first year, and
wow.
So that was the exciting thing about it is to kind of sell it out and then to be to, you know, whatever, and then also. Since we were able to pull that many people the first year, Six Flags, you know, we had a good position to be able to negotiate a good deal, you know, and so then, you know, because the cost of bringing in, you know, artists, you know, musicians and speakers and things like that have gone up a lot
since
we started. So it's allowed us to keep the event going. So like I said, we've been going for 14 years. We're super excited about, you know, building back up to that. You know, I'd like to build it up back up to 3,000. But the event was amazing with 2,000 last year. I think nobody could believe it. We, you know, for context, I think we had almost as many people at our conference as they had at the National Catholic Youth Conference in Southern California this year, right? So we were excited about our numbers, and it went very well.
So, first off, Six Flags was the logical choice of places within this nine diocese area.
Well, you know, it was going to be our, you know, we started the event, so obviously
right.
I wanted, you know, primarily our parishes to be able to go, and so I want, you know, it was in our diocese, the only right. amusement park in our diocese.
Yeah.
The only other option would be Great America.
Great America,
right?
Yeah.
But Great America is like farther away. I mean, Vallejo is pretty centrally located for, right. you know, Oakland, San Francisco, Santa Rosa, Stockton, Sacramento, and San Jose, right? It's pretty centrally located right. for all of those dioceses, right? Reno, it's a lot closer. It's, you know, it's closer for Reno by about an hour.
Right.
So that's good, too. You know, Fresno and Monterey, I mean, they're pretty far away. So
right.
No matter where we had it, that would have been. I mean, for Monterey and San Jose, I guess, the other option, the Great America option, would have been better. But, you know, we wanted to get as, you know, many people as we could from our diocese. That first year we had, I think it was 1,200 from our diocese.
Uh-huh.
Came. I mean, it was a really good turnout. That's a larger turnout than we've ever had for any of our youth conventions in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we youth convention would draw between 600 and 900 people, and this was 1,200 that came to Six Flags for that first event.
So are Fresno and Monterey, are they able to send a fair number of people?
They only send a few. I mean, there's not a lot that come from there. It's mostly the dioceses that are closer by. Reno actually sends a lot. They send between 200 and 300 every year. They bus the kids in, mm-hmm. and they'll have 3, 4, maybe 5 buses sometimes come from Reno.
And that's the only diocese that buses?
Some of the larger parishes bus, but the
diocese. They have their own bus, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We sponsor a bus from the North State, 1 or 2 buses from usually leaves from Red Bluff,
right?
So that the northern parishes can come to Red Bluff, and then they can get a ride.
Mm-hmm.
The bus starts in Redding and then picks up in Red Bluff. Red Bluff is kind of where people can come across from Chico or come across
sure.
from the Ridge Deanery, come across that way, and you hit 5 there. So that's kind of where we pick up. But we always sponsor at least one. I think 1 year we had 3 buses, but it's not a huge number, but we do try to sponsor buses to try to get people.
Oh, that's good. That makes it a lot easier for people, in Anderson and Redding and Chico and everywhere else. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so World Youth Day coming up this summer, and haven't we usually had a virtual World Youth Day as well?
Yeah, we do. We have a virtual World Youth Day event. We haven't announced the details of that, but our hope is to have a virtual World Youth Day at Trinity Pines the same weekend mm-hmm. that the Mass happens. Bishop Soto will be in World Youth Day,
right?
And so the idea is to do a live stream of him to be there for the participants here at the they call it Stateside World Youth Day, right? We do a local event that coincides with the international event.
Yeah, Bishop Soto is very good about being on the radio as well and sending communiques that are on the website and but also participating in the World Youth Day live. The virtual Youth Day is really great stuff. And, of course, this is in Lisbon in early August.
Yeah, and we're going to announce soon what the details for that World Youth Day, the local World Youth Day is. The back and forth has been whether we do a youth event or whether we focus on a young adult event for that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still deciding which of those to do. Most likely it will be a young adult event and would be at Trinity Pines. That's the plan so far anyway.
Trinity Pines up in the Colfax area?
Yeah.
Right in Colfax almost. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a treasure that has become in the diocese.
Yes, it's just such a beautiful location. We hope to one day renovate it. It's right now just portable buildings, so they're usable, but they're old portables. They were old when they were put there. So the land, but it's such a beautiful space, right? I mean, you go there, it's just really, and it's really close. Closer to the highway and closer to hospitals, and your cell phone works there.
Yeah, it's real convenient to get to. Yeah,
for a modern for a retreat center, kind of in the modern the idea of like being able to get there quickly so that you can because people have less time, right? So the idea is it's closer to the city and stuff. So. But really, really such a beautiful area. And close to, obviously close to Rollins Lake there.
Yep.
That can also be used.
Yeah, it's just the whole area up there is just beautiful. gets a little, this winter has gotten a little bit of snow too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
That's amazing.
There's been a lot of snow, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anything we didn't cover, Kevin?
No, I think we're good, Bob. I'm excited to be on the show, and thank you for all the work that you do to get the word out about, you know, everything going on, and really appreciate the time.
Very good. Well, Easter blessings to you and your family and everybody you work with, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Blessings to you, too.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's Deacon Kevin Stasko. Just does so much great work here in the Diocese of Sacramento. And we will keep you posted on all the great events coming up at Mark Ministry Days, the 22nd and 23rd of September. Six Flags at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo on Saturday, the 16th of September. You may want to just circle those dates right now so you have them. And, of course, keep your eye on the announcements for the virtual World Youth Day up at Trinity Pines, which will take place. It's still to be determined, but it is in early August, the big, real, if you will, in-person World Youth Day, where Bishop Soto and a contingent of 33 from the Diocese of Sacramento will be there, Lisbon, Portugal, in early August. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Katie Parada, Executive Director of Catholic Schools for the Diocese of Sacramento, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Oh, thank you so much for that, and thanks for all the great work you do with our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Patrick McGinn, who is the leader of Theology on Tap at Holy Spirit and also a part of the great youth ministry there. Patrick, good day to you.
Yeah, good day to you. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Patrick McGinn. I'm 33 years old, recently married April of last year.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Married at Holy Spirit, actually, with the new priest, Father Bong. It was awesome.
Oh, wonderful. I'm a big fan of Father Bong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So my wife and I have lived here for a while. We've been in and out of different, not volunteer groups, but youth and young adult groups here mm-hmm. at various churches. And it's just been kind of hard to meet friends kind of in our age range.
Mm-hmm.
Not even people that have the same beliefs as us, just kind of anybody. So we decided to start a Theology on Tap group, not just available to Holy Spirit, but to the entire diocese, and just anyone. They don't even have to be Catholic, but most everybody is at this current point.
Mm-hmm.
We have people from about 7 other churches right now.
Oh, wow.
Like St. Francis, St. Ignatius, St. Lawrence, the Cathedral, some in Elk Grove, and all around. So it's been growing, and it's been really exciting, and we hope that people hear this and maybe come on out.
Explain about Theology on Tap.
Sure. So Theology on Tap is, from what I can tell, mostly a Catholic thing, but it's where priests, it could be lay people as well, will come out and speak about a specific topic, and then we'll break into small groups, 4 or 5, and talk about that in relation to our own lives. So, for example, this last time, we do it on the first Friday of every month, mm-hmm. and this last time we had Father Memo, who is the director of vocations.
Sure. Yep.
At the diocese come out. He's an excellent speaker. He's very funny, very, very easy to get along with. He's just easygoing, great guy. And he came out and spoke to us for about 30 or 40 minutes. And we broke into groups, and people are kind of just meeting for the first time or haven't seen each other in a month since the last one. And we'll hear this message about vocations, and then we'll break into groups and answer questions about it. And it gives people a place to faith share when they don't really have the opportunity to do that in their daily lives. So it creates kind of a unique opportunity to meet people between the ages of 21 and 49 who are roughly around our same age and be ourselves, actually have an opportunity to be ourselves and to share our faith and the impact it has in our lives with others in relation to whatever the topic is. So last time it was vocations. The time before that, in February, we had Deacon Danny from Holy Spirit talk about prayer, and that was a really great conversation. And next month, which April 14th, is our next one. We're doing it with Moises de Leon, who is the Sacramento Diocese Director of Life and Family, Respect Life and Family Ministries. So he'll be coming in and speaking to us. And I guess I forgot to mention one of the main parts. So that's the theology part. The on tap part is that we have beer on hand, we have wine, we have might be a alcoholic seltzer drink, but people can kind of BYOB if they want, or we provide drinks as well, and it creates a social atmosphere.
Do you meet in bars, or do you meet at Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So right now we're just meeting at Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was the least amount of work that we had, the least barriers, I guess, to entry. And so Holy Spirit had an extra room they weren't using on Fridays, and so we snatched that up. Maybe eventually, if we grow too large for that room, that we occupy another space, maybe a bar or something. But for now, I think people enjoy coming and getting the free drinks and faith growing.
Yeah, the name Theology on Tap is very clever, and I think it piques people's interest right away.
Oh yeah, it's not something we came up with. It's something we've borrowed from.
Right.
I don't know where it started, but yes.
No, it's been around for a while. I think it might have started in Chicago, but I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. So that, you're right, that brings people in immediately. We started our young adult group, or early age adult group, not quite middle age, maybe some middle age in there, in July. And once we started doing the Theology on Tap part of it, that's when we saw numbers increase and more people were interested in coming.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it primarily couples or not?
What's that?
Is it primarily couples?
Oh, no. We have probably four married couples that will show up, including me and my wife. But other than that, it's mostly singles.
Very good. Very good. Well, I have a couple of daughters who have just transitioned into that age on the lower end. So they may well be interested as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, they're welcome to come out. Like I said, we do it the first Friday of every month, except for this upcoming first Friday, which is, you know, Good Friday.
Good Friday, right.
Yeah, so we pushed it to April 14th and recently started a Instagram page for it so that
I can at least refer people to a central spot to look up when the next one is. So
how far ahead do you come up with a topic each time?
Yeah, good question. I've done a lot of research on different young adult and just adult ministries around the country to see what people are speaking about, what people want to hear about. There's ones in Denver and in Dallas and in Georgia who have them online, who have them all listed online of what they've talked about, and they have the recordings there, which I love that idea. But we will invite people, I will reach out to people at the diocese, and whatever it is that they specialize in, that's what they're going to talk about. So Moises is going to come in, and he's going to speak about family life. He's also going to talk about dating. He's going to talk about just the Respect Life ministry in general. The month after that, in May, really excited, we have Miriam Sammartino coming out to talk.
Oh, wow.
You know who she is?
Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns.
Yes.
Yes, and she's brilliant. She's great. And Moises will do a great job, too.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we're really excited about both of them to come out. So I have a list of topics in case people don't know what they want to talk about, but that hasn't really happened yet. People come in with something very specific that they want this group of people to know about, which I feel we're blessed that we've had that so far.
Well, it's great that they have you there with all the great enthusiasm. Are you a cradle Catholic?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Grew up in this area?
No, grew up in Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough commute.
Yeah. It's pretty far, 3,000 miles a day.
What part of Georgia?
A place called Alpharetta. It's about 45 minutes north of Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. People know about Alpharetta. Absolutely.
Oh great.
And you ended up in Sacramento.
Yeah. I came out here for a job about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I work in disaster response, emergency preparedness, emergency management. And I came out here for a job on a national response team with FEMA. And I did that for about 4 years. And now I'm the disaster services director for the Salvation Army for all Northern and Central California.
Oh, okay. But your original training was with FEMA.
Yes. And I also have my degree in emergency management as well.
And that's from where?
From Savannah State University.
Uh-huh.
And then I have my master's from American Public University.
Is it true that Savannah has the second biggest St. Patrick's Day in the country?
I think they boast about having the biggest.
Maybe the biggest. They're from Georgia. They probably would.
Then there's like Chicago and Boston. So who knows?
But and New York. Yeah.
Oh, New York, too. Yeah, it is insane. Millions of people show up. They camp out the next the day before or a couple days before. Because in Savannah, they have a bunch of squares in the city. And people will camp out on the squares, so they make sure they get their spot to see the parade. And they kind of set up like it's a tailgate.
Wow. I read that somewhere. It was probably a few years ago, right before St. Patrick's Day. And I thought, how unlikely. We know Chicago. We know Boston. We know New York. And San Francisco to a degree. But... my goodness, Savannah just didn't strike me that about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, a lot of Irish there, a lot of Irish bars there, a lot of Irish people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Well, it must be really satisfying work to work for the Salvation Army as well.
It is. I feel blessed because I get to incorporate my faith life and my faith journey into my work life,
mm-hmm.
which is... Mm-hmm. I'm definitely in the minority. People don't get to do that. I didn't get to do that when I worked with the government. We start with meetings with prayers. We end it with prayers. There's chapel is encouraged during the day to attend. And the mission of the Salvation Army is inspired by the gospel. And they're trying to live out the gospel every day in everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
So to work for them and to incorporate both my... spiritual life and my work life is a huge blessing, and it's really helped me grow over the last several years.
So I can imagine that a lot of your disaster work since you've come out here has dealt with fire.
Yes, you would be correct, except for the last
last couple of months.
Yeah, we've had fires, we've had earthquakes, whether it's in Eureka or it's in Ridgecrest.
Right.
And then fires, all across the state. And I cover northern Nevada as well. So
you're doing the whole, you're talking about Ridgecrest and Eureka. You're talking about places quite a ways away from Sacramento.
Yes. I cover all the way from Bakersfield up to Oregon, over to the coast, and then over to Reno, Carson City. That's my whole area. And any disaster that happens in that area, we will likely be providing either distribution of emergency supplies. We'll provide emergency food, like hot meals, from our food trucks, or we'll provide emotional and spiritual care, or all three.
Wow. So isn't it interesting? I've always talked about the Diocese of Sacramento with 20 counties, goes all the way up the Oregon border. The only part that doesn't is the Diocese of Santa Rosa, which has kind of the Pacific coast from Oregon down to Santa Rosa and Napa and that. But the diocese has all the rest of it to the Nevada border and all the way to the Oregon border. And it's so diverse, not just geographically, but it's that as well. I mean, we had, 117 degrees in Sacramento last summer, and in September, actually. And two hours up the road is where they held the Winter Olympics. You know, it's just and then the diversity of the people in this area, too. So you're seeing a completely different kind of city, say, in Eureka or in Crescent City or Wairika than you would in Sacramento or Stockton or, down the valley.
Oh, sure. And we live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. We have with such a diverse geography with the Sierra Nevadas in the east and then the mountain ranges on the west and wine country and the forests. And we have more national parks than any other state. I mean, we really live in a beautiful place. So I don't mind responding to disasters in, some of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah. And, you mentioned Miriam San Martino, Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. And even though it's not their prime mission, they've been doing a lot of disaster work as well, starting, up in Paradise and along with St. Vincent de Paul and a lot of other Catholic organizations as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're one of our partners, and we see them at a lot of disasters, especially in the recovery phase.
Exactly, yeah.
When it takes people years and months and sometimes years to recover, especially with the fires and rebuilding their homes. But in the interim, organizations like Catholic Charities and ours may provide people with gift cards or with, whether it's for gas or for groceries, even people that had PSPS, the public safety power shutoffs, may be able to receive assistance.
It's great work. Good for you for being a part of that. How can people learn more about Theology on Tap at Holy Spirit?
Great. Yeah. Great question. So we have an Instagram page at Holy Spirit TOT, like at Holy Spirit Theology on Tap at Holy Spirit TOT. I have flyers there right now for each of the months that we've done. And in the next couple moments, I'll be uploading the flyers for the next couple Theology on Taps, as well as our outreach events, or rather our community service events. So we just recently started. Our first one was this month, and it is just making homeless care packages.
Mm-hmm.
I had wanted to volunteer, wanted to do more community service, more corporal works of mercy. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me water when I was thirsty. And I just didn't see the opportunities out there, so we decided to do it ourselves. And two weekends ago, a group of five of us from Theology on Tap came out and up to the streets of Sacramento and found homeless camps and handed out care packages with nice notes that say, you're not forgotten, you're cared about, you're loved, and with some Nutri-Grain and some other peanut butter crackers in there, some high-quality socks, waters, hand warmers, and a couple other things. So we'll also be posting that on our Instagram page and those events when they come up, which will be hopefully once a month.
Very good. So how did you, I mean, finding a homeless camp is pretty easy these days. How did you decide where you would go and who you would, deal with? And how were you received?
Yeah, so we, so Holy Spirit is in Land Park area. Right. And driving there, you have to, well, from where I live, which is on F Street, you have to drive past this baseball field. And you can see it from 50, and you can see it, well, you can see it from 80. And
right.
Baseball fields, and they had tents just lined up
right.
on both sides all the way down for probably a whole block or two. And so I was thinking, hey, we're going to go there. Well, on the day of, it was raining, and we went there, and all the homeless encampments had been, they're gone. They've been pushed out.
Mm.
And so now we're like, okay, we got to find them. Where'd they go? And just driving down X Street and driving down Broadway, we found probably all the people that were once there, just in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So as we found them and as we saw them, we just handed out what we had. We had about 80 kits. And thanks to donations we got from people that are in the Theology on Tap group, for those who couldn't make it out, or maybe that's just how they wanted to give. They didn't feel comfortable, or they didn't want to give, or they couldn't give the time to serve, so they gave funds instead, which helped out a lot. And so under bridges, under the Broadway Bridge, under X Street.
Yeah, X Street has a tremendous number of homeless right on X Street, yeah.
Yes, yep. So we know they're there. We know they're just people. We know they're just brothers and sisters and daughters and mothers who are having a really hard time. And that's how I like to think about it. They could be any of our family members. They could be us at some point in our lives. And they just need someone to respect their dignity and treat them like a real person, as we're called to do. So I was really happy with having 5 or 6 people show up and having about 10 people total contribute to the ministry. It's just something hopefully we're hoping to do every month, as long as we can keep getting donations. But we're also, my wife and I are also adding to that donation fund. So even at the very least, maybe we have 10 or 20 care kits we can give out.
Mm-hmm.
Give people the opportunity to get out and, you know, bring the kingdom, like Jesus says in Acts, hey, I'm not going to restore the kingdom, you guys are.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, Patrick, greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and God's blessings to you and your wife and everybody you work with there at Salvation Army, and also the Theology on Tap there at Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, we'd love to have you come and talk at some point if you're interested.
I'd love to talk to your group.
Okay, that's great. I'll reach out.
I'll bring my daughters who have just turned. I have a whole bunch of daughters, but a couple of them have just become either 19, 20, 21, that age. So they would love to come, especially the one who's 21.
yeah, bring her out.
Indeed. Well, I will await your invitation.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, thanks so much, Patrick. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. God bless. That's Patrick McGinn, who's the leader of the Theology on Tap group at Holy Spirit. Sounds like they do a lot of great work as well. If you've never been to the Chrism Mass, where the blessing of the oils that are used throughout the year in the in the Diocese of Sacramento, the Bishop Soto will bless the oils, and then they're distributed to all the pastors from all the parishes, and it all takes place at the annual Chrism Mass at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. It's always on the Thursday prior to Holy Thursday, so the prior to Holy Week. It will take place this year, Thursday, March the 30th, at 6 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. And we know we had the bishop on, Bishop Soto on the other day, and he said, you know, it's such a beautiful Mass, it's too bad more people, just lay people, don't come to it. They're certainly invited, because you'll see virtually every priest in the Diocese of Sacramento all together there at the Cathedral. They will pray together and pray for God's continued blessings on the local church of Sacramento, and they will renew their priestly promises. And the Chrism Mass is clearly one of the most important diocesan celebrations. Bishop Soto, again, will bless the holy oils that are used in the sacramental celebrations in the parishes throughout the Diocese of Sacramento throughout the coming year. Not just, the olive oil, is raised right here in the Diocese of Sacramento in Yolo County, a family in Yolo County that has donated. They have an olive orchard, and they have donated the olive oil for the Chrism Mass. Of course, the holy oil, the oil of catechumens, and the oil of the sick. So if you can make it, it is Thursday, the 30th of March, 6 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, a very beautiful and inspiring Mass. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. We'll talk with you again soon. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen and it's still raining as the thunder.